Hey guys, what's happening? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Sunday night and yet another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead After Show. We are so excited to be here to break down the brand new episode. This was an awesome one. We got some great context on Negan. We found out some great stuff about Dwight and what's going on with Daryl. We haven't quite yet gotten back to the group yet, but we're going to break down the whole thing for you. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the panel.
That's right.
We're here.
Woo. Like, I need to be a big energy. Like, I want to be like Michael Bublé.
That was really good.
Let's get ready to rumble. Right?
He's now going to sue you for that. You have to pay him every time you do that.
Yes, welcome to the show. Are we excited?
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was a really good episode.
Yeah,
it was good.
It's my favorite kind of episode. I feel like
a lot of information.
Yeah, exactly. Moves the story along. It's not like just backstory.
Right.
Yep. It's like, and it's also not just flashbacks to illustrate what's going on in the story.
Sure.
It's like more subtle. Like a lot of the stuff with Dwight tonight was great. I thought that was that was really exciting. Any initial quick reactions before we introduce everything?
I called it. I did say there was going to be a bunch of episodes before we went back to Alexandria.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And thank you to the AMC team for proving me right.
And they're giving us the 90-minute episode next week.
The 90-minute episode.
Yeah. And the reaction.
And it's not going to be about a guy in a cage learning how to use a bow staff.
I know. I love that they're like we're gonna tease you guys and not show you who dies in the finale.
Yep.
And we're going to give you a 90-minute episode that reacts. That's basically just who died is the whole episode.
Yep.
Then we're going to make you wait three more episodes and then give you a 90-minute episode to react to the reaction.
Right.
Yeah. That's how they keep you
I
on.
Already have my prediction for later, which I'll share. But like just off of that episode, I'm like, okay, it was like a light bulb went off. I was like, poof. Okay, I see what's going to happen here. I feel like I see what's going to happen.
Okay, great.
All right. I'm not seeing in the future.
Yeah, I'm curious what you're going to say later.
I'm really interested
we'll
in
see.
That.
We'll see. I mean, I could be totally off, but this is just the vibe I was getting from this episode. So
awesome.
All right.
Well, I'm glad we all liked it. Welcome to the show, guys. This is the AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Walking Dead. We're in Season 7, Episode 3, titled The Cell. This was an awesome one, as we all thought. My name is Ben Bateman. I'm your host, joined today by an excellent panel of co-hosts. If you guys want to find me, I'm Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Mr. John Carl.
I am John Carl, the John Carl, J-O-H-N-C-A-R-L-E. Nobody ever puts the E for some reason. And I am recently having my hairstyle match that of Daryl. We did an amazing live stream this weekend. Daryl was actually a part of it.
I was.
We raised $2,500 for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, a charity called Extra Life. Follow me on social media. There's a bunch of links to it if you'd like to also donate, because it's an ongoing thing even though we're done with our live stream.
Awesome.
I'm exhausted too. 24
awesome.
Hours straight of playing video games. It was a rough life.
We have a special guest.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Keep going.
We have a special guest on the show for the first time ever on the panel. I didn't
first
even know you were a big fan.
Ever, yeah. I'm
we
a
love
huge
this.
Fan. Been watching Walking Dead for a long, long time.
It's good to know.
And I'm still married to it. I'll be great with it forever.
Courtney Stewart!
Hi, guys.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Big fan. Find me at Stewart Starlet everywhere, and hopefully I have something to contribute today.
That's I'm sure you will.
You will. New perspective. And rounding out the panel, our social media correspondent.
Well, attempting at social media, our wireless is a little slow, but that's
okay.
We'll get it between the episode.
We're not going to be able to read it up there.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
What's up, everybody? Daryl Kristen here again.
Welcome back.
Thank you, guys. It's fun to be back.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about talking about this episode.
Woo-hoo.
Where can the folks find you?
Oh, right. At Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, everywhere. Just spell my name out and you can find me.
What about Black Hollywood Live?
And well, that's
A thing.
That's a thing. Black Hollywood Live as well. Yes, under my name as well. So
sweet. All right, guys. If you want to follow along with AfterBuzz TV, we of course the AfterBuzz TV is on Twitter as well at AfterBuzz TV. Please rate, comment, subscribe, all those things on YouTube. If you leave comments, we interact with you. The comments this on this season have been fantastic.
Great yeah. comments.
Tons, which has been really really fun. A lot of really interesting theories. People saying really nice things. And then also, if you guys can give a rating and a review on iTunes, it helps us stay high in the standings. We provide free content here at AfterBuzz TV. We'd like to continue to provide free content. And to do that, it helps us keep the lights on if you just give us a simple rating. It's real, real easy. So that would be amazing. Let's get into the show. We open up in this one with Daryl in a cell. The episode was titled The Cell. It's they're trying to break him. He's a stallion.
Before we get into Daryl and the Cell,
yeah.
Was I the only one disappointed that when they're showing the start of Who's the Boss, it wasn't the actual theme song it was playing?
It was yes! not the theme song.
I was so disappointed in that.
It was a little strange.
Yeah. It was very awkward.
Because I was like, wait, did they get the rights to the footage but not the song? And then it became the montage of everything else that Dwight was doing. Mm-hmm. But I was so disappointed. And now when I go home, the first thing I'm going to do is YouTube the entrance theme for Who's the Boss.
I'm with you on that. No, I was saying I was with that. I feel what you're saying, John, but I just felt like it was setting up the episode very well because who's the boss?
Right.
It was like such a deep meaning behind that, you know, even though I did want to hear the theme song originally.
Yeah. It's still a great theme song.
Yeah.
It's a great theme song, but it's great that they didn't have it in there because it set the mood, not just with showing who's the boss, but the fact that everything is very disjointed and who's really the boss and what's really going on is really an interesting situation right now. So I kind of like that we didn't have that energy on the top.
We had two segments in the show, both open with like different music and, you know, like cut together video pieces and whatnot, which is interesting, like sort of montage stuff. I think that this season and last season, you can tell the show is starting to take artistic liberties a little bit more, the way they're cutting things together and presenting the episodes, which is actually really nice to see. It takes us away from the sort of like one of the criticisms you hear about the show a lot, which is that this is a zombie soap opera, which would obviously lead to, like, as we've talked about, very serial storytelling with, like, not that much difference in the way that the episodes feel. And it's fun when an episode has that difference in feeling.
Well, this episode in particular, I mean, like, yes, there are still walkers and everything like that, but the walkers were so secondary to how this show flowed. And, like,
absolutely.
They're an obvious plot device that you could use when it's appropriate, but you could have done this entire episode without a single walker in it, and it would have been almost as effective, with the exception of the dude at the end.
Yeah, and it's getting more and more that way. I mean, the show is becoming more and more that way. That I think that the walkers are not as relevant as threats. I mean, in big numbers, they still are.
Yeah.
But we don't see them pop up quite as much. So Daryl's in this cell, and Dwight is trying to break him. And Dwight's making a sandwich, which is fun to watch. He's got high quality mustard, fresh baked bread. But he's, like, muscling in for the bread. He's taking the loaf.
Yep. He's figuring out who he's going to get the mustard from and, you know, going and getting the eggs and everything like that.
Yeah, and he takes the mustard from a woman and her son and what it looks like.
Bunk 39, I think it was.
Yeah, Bunk 39.
Bunk 39.
Yep. 39.
And so he's making a great sandwich. He's real proud of himself. You know, the whole deal with the sandwich. I guess you take the small things that you can put together that you're happy with in the post-apocalyptic world. And a fried egg sandwich like that does seem delicious.
Well, it seems like it's either that or like dog food on bread, so fried eggs are amazing at that comparison.
Yeah, and everybody loves a fried egg sandwich. Daryl, you used to, back at the old studio, occasionally you would remember those?
Wow, that's a great memory that you just had. Yeah, I was not prepared for that because all I could think about was the dirty nails of Dwight as he was eating the fried egg sandwich. But yes, I did. I make a great egg sandwich.
You made me ones like once or twice.
I did
at the end of the show.
That means I love you, Ben.
It was great.
Yes,
it was good. So Dwight's doing that and he's trying to kind of break. He's trying to kind of like break Daryl down. Right off the bat, do you guys have a feeling that Daryl was going to break by the end of the episode or not?
Like,
No, it's too soon.
I never thought he would break in this episode.
I think, you know, what we've been talking about in previous episodes is the premiere was how Rick was broken.
Yeah,
and I think for the group as a whole to come out of this, you can't have two or three of its strongest people all break.
Or die.
Yeah.
Or die.
Well, yeah, you could definitely have a bunch die. But you still need the ones like Carol, like Daryl, to maintain their strength.
Right.
To bring Rick back up. Because in the end, he still needs to be the strongest one when this is all said and done.
Yeah.
And if you broke his number two and three in terms of support, I don't think there's any coming back from that.
Yeah. And I never thought that they were going to actually show Daryl break down that easy as well, because I thought they wanted to show, or as they did, show the relationship between Dwight and Daryl and how similar they were and how Dwight was not easily broken down, that it seems like, as well. And they're not going to make that. They're going to make that kind of the same way with Daryl.
Well, Dwight essentially wants to be Daryl.
He does.
I mean, he the fact that he took the motorcycle in last season, he walks around with Daryl's vest. He wants to be Daryl.
Yeah.
And he saw so much strength in Daryl last season. He's like, yes, this is who I think I am in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, now I'm just going to emulate him almost exactly.
Yeah.
He misses his freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's submitted so... Because, I mean, technically, he kind of submitted a little bit easy because of the wife. And that's sort of what made him give in so soon. So I think his envy for Daryl is more about he's lost the element of choice in his life.
Yep.
And he would just love and appreciate, I guess, to be able to eat a dog sandwich and...
Well, it's really interesting. It's really interesting.
A dog sandwich.
Dog food sandwich.
Dog
not
food
a dog
sandwich.
Yeah, because they're all living under the illusion of choice right now.
Yeah.
Where it's literally three choices. Mm-hmm. You are a walker out on the spikes. Yeah. You're working to get points, and everything you want in life is going to cost you a certain number of points.
Yeah.
Or you just completely submit, be one of Negan's top guys, and then in that world, you think you live like a king, but you know, as it's obvious from Dwight, you're not living like a king because he took an iron to the face, and his now ex-wife is one of Negan's wives. Like, okay.
Did we have we
but that was his choice?
Have we established, by the way? I mean, I kind of assumed from the way he talked about it that he maybe was like with more than one woman. Have we established that Negan definitely has more than one wife? He hasn't. I don't think he specified, did he?
I don't think he specified it directly, but I got the impression, like, he just throws the word wife around so loosely that I don't trust him, that he's not just being like, oh, yeah, you're my wife, you're my wife, you're my wife. And essentially that's like, nobody else could touch you, but I could go to whichever one of you I want.
Interesting.
And happy hour at the Pussy Bar was...
That was the best quote of the night.
Yes. No, happy hour at the
Pussy Bar.
But he did say the women are allowed to choose, which I appreciate.
Yeah, they're allowed to say no.
They have to say yes, yeah.
Yeah, so he's right. That's one of Negan's... One of his rules. He seems like he has, like, a few rules, as he talked about.
It's a little bit of a song.
Yeah, we... I mean, not to go into comic book spoiler territory, but we talked about this last season, where there were just certain rules that Negan lived by. He had a code, and one of them was that you couldn't go... A woman always had the right to choose.
Always, yeah.
But they always obviously got certain advantages for choosing somebody like Negan.
Right.
Which is why it was like working their way up through the power structure.
And speaking of the comic book, something we like to point out every episode, guys, is whether you're watching or listening for the first time, some of us have read the comics or have some awareness of what's going on in the comics.
This side of the table.
Yeah, but I mean, it's such an old show that I think there's a lot of information that gets just like tossed around. People know about things even if they didn't read the things.
Mm-hmm.
So we will specifically not reference those things other than very loosely in the episode, but there will be a spoiler section at the end of the episode for just a few minutes where we can discuss comic book spoilers. So if you're not somebody who wants to know about that stuff, we'll give you the warning to tune out at the end of the episode. But if we're talking about something here and you're like, I know the answer to that, don't worry about it. We'll get to it at the end of the episode.
Yep.
We will cover it.
And it's also interesting, there's a big debate on the chat right now between Daryl's storyline. A lot of people are saying that they're tired of Daryl's storyline already. I'm like,
wow.
I feel like we haven't really gotten into this
interesting. So
much, but they're already saying, you know, that they feel like it's overkill right now.
I think somebody on the comments last week or the week before was talking about that they were really tired of Daryl, and but also that they hadn't given him any screen time in a long time, that he hadn't had a storyline. And I said, I think him going with Negan actually is going to be great for his character.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if he's leaving your group, how can it be better for the character? And my feeling is that what he's going through and eventually is going to be in some capacity alive, we're assuming, in this area, is going to be great. He's going to turn into a different... He's going to interact with our group in a totally different way.
Yep.
It'll be a different moving piece that I think is going to be great for his character. We're going to see, like, an arc for him right now we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, he hasn't changed or evolved in seasons. He's been the same Daryl for a pretty lengthy period of time at this point.
Definitely.
Well, I think he at least... I mean, Daryl had a darkness to begin with and sort of came out of it in being with the group and being able to sort of bond and have relationships with the group. So if anything, for me, it seems like his arc is going to end up turning back to what he was before. Very isolated, even if he... Because if he submits to Negan and decides I'm going to be one of the head honchos, like, he's losing the extra humanity that he sort of developed by being in the group. So I think it's definitely an interesting choice that he would go to such a violent group and sort of go back in that direction, but I don't love it.
do you love Daryl? Is he one of your favorites?
I love Daryl, and I was appreciative that he
I just
had,
said
like,
Daryl. I was like, "Oh, thank you, I love you too."
Sorry, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Not everything revolves around you.
But yeah, I love him, and I loved the bond that he had been able to build with Rick, and that their relationship was so there for each other all the time. And I mean, obviously, they have to break that down to sort of break the group down even further. So I get it, but I definitely don't appreciate it.
Well, let's move on for a second here to, you know, Daryl gets a dog food sandwich. Of course, he only gets the ends of the loaf. Dwight wasn't very accommodating.
No.
Made sure to give him the stale ends, it seemed.
Can we talk about that song, too?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That song is the freaking worst.
Easy Street. I'm going to hear it in my seat for the next week.
Yeah. So, I get the whole point of it is that's one of those songs that's so repetitive and it's the opposite of what you're going through and it's meant to break you down. If it's driving us nuts watching the episode,
right.
I don't know what he's going through because I'm sure they put that thing on repeat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the worst
but
psychological
I feel like you would get
torture.
To a point you could actually tune it out. You know what I mean? Like, you could just completely just zone yourself out of it.
Daryl's
you know?
Mentally tough. As
yeah,
well.
You're stronger than I am.
Perhaps.
What's up?
I would have bashed my head against that cell door. I would have taken myself out at that point.
What do we have going on in the chat?
They are not saying anything yet about the song, so okay. Once they do, I will definitely let you know.
Yep.
Perfect. So let's keep going then with we'll swing back around to Negan trying to break down Daryl at the end of the episode. But let's talk a little bit about Dwight and Sherry, because this, to me, this is the most interesting relationship
Absolutely.
Going on in the story, at least this episode. Really, really uncomfortable, really sort of like sad, and also I think the way that Negan interacts with Dwight because of it,
mm-hmm.
it was sort of fascinating to watch, and I think it really is foreshadowing for some great stuff we're going to get to see down the line. But that scene with the two of them smoking cigarettes on the stairs and the interaction... does he treat you well? Oh. Yeah. Are you happy? Yeah. Good. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah. That's when your boy stole your girl back in high school, but exactly. you still have to be on the football team together. Yeah. And he's the star quarterback. And if you kick his ass, you're off the team.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
But the worst,
but,
he
you
said,
know, dying.
He yeah, literally dying. Said it. He said it's better than being dead.
Yeah. yeah.
And I guess the whole theme of the episode is what is better than being dead? Is this the life you want for Daryl? Is this the life you want? The life you want, Dwight? But that was probably the most dismal thing I've ever heard in the course of this whole show. Like, he went up the stairs, walked away, and they separated in shadow from each other, and it was just the saddest thing I've ever seen.
I don't think he believed it. I 100% think he was saying that for her.
Yeah.
To make it feel like she did the right thing by marrying Negan.
Right.
I think anything he's doing where he's trying to look like he's positive and enjoying this life is just to keep her protected. Because the whole thing at the beginning was, or when he came back and begged for forgiveness, she was going to get taken out. And
right.
Negan is like, no. Or, well, he's like, take me instead. And he's like, well, I'll marry her instead.
And still burn
yeah.
your face.
Yeah, still burn your face.
Have my guys beat you up and clump your penis, as he
clump
said.
Clump your penis, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was
just,
weird.
Well, you just see how much Negan has, like, a mind control and how much he plays the mind games with
yeah.
everyone around him.
Totally.
You know, and I'm almost a little bit surprised that none of the people in the group really rebel against him. Like, he has that much control where, as a consensus, maybe 5 to 6 of the members would rebel against him. I mean, you know, but I guess he has enough people tied in under him mm-hmm. to control the
situation.
Well,
they answered that in the last episode, saying people needed to somebody
they need
to follow.
Someone to follow,
and
right? But that's interesting to me.
Regardless.
Like, people
yeah.
need that so much.
It doesn't like killing Negan would be very easy. I mean, it just seems like if you
that's
were
what I'm saying,
if you
yeah.
were somebody in the group and you had a gun and you just like looked for the opportunity carefully, you just shoot him in the head.
Yeah. Well, how many of them are following orders where you take some responsibility off of yourself when? He says to a group of people, beat this person to death, versus I'm going to go up and kill this guy in his sleep. Like, there is a different kind of person that's able to do that. There's,
yeah.
there's somebody who's following, and then somebody who's literally committing cold-blooded murder. Even if it's justified, it's still murder.
Right.
And not everybody is able to do that other than somebody like a Dwight.
Right, right. Definitely. So, so talking about Dwight and Sherry, the first scene that we see them together is actually when he takes Daryl into the doctor's office, and she walks out. And what she says is, "It's negative, and maybe next time." So, are we
yeah.
thinking that she thought she maybe had Negan's baby, or was it Dwight's baby? Is that what we're thinking?
I'm thinking Negan.
He's That's trying to get I her thought. Pregnant. That's what we think.
I'm in spoiler territory if I comment on that one right now.
Okay.
I mean, I can't imagine that it would be Dwight.
Yeah.
Because I would never imagine that. Well, that's not true, because Negan did say, like, ooh, did you
want
to take
one
a,
did you want?
A
yeah,
chance,
yeah,
or, like, revisit
yeah.
whatever he said
yeah,
the old
yeah.
days. So mm-hmm. maybe he does it in some kind of dirty, filthy, horrible, like, torturous kind of way, like, let them be together sometimes. But I just can't imagine that she would actually, he would be fine with her being impregnated by Dwight. Like, I feel like Negan would never
yeah, right.
let that.
Well, I thought maybe it was like the baby from, like, before, because we don't know exactly how long it's passed.
Yeah, we don't know
right?
the time frame.
I take it as Negan's, though,
Negan's.
Just the way that.
Trying to get right. pregnant.
Can we yeah. just give a 30-second, if you don't want to hear this.
No, let's talk about it at the end of the episode.
And?
Just,
okay,
just,
we'll
just
save
make
it
a note. Sure, just,
yeah.
Let's remind. We'll keep moving. So yeah, that I mean that I think that whole relationship with Dwight and Sherry mm-hmm. and all that, and Sherry sort of looking out for Daryl. I don't really know who's on whose side. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? I'm trying to figure out, like, when the story breaks, like, where does Sherry go? Where does Dwight go? Kind of seems like Dwight's eventually going to, like, be friends with Daryl. He seems like he kind of admires Daryl, right?
That's part of my predictions, which I'll say for
okay.
later. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that he does secretly... I think he just sees himself so much in Daryl, and that is why he plays out the way he plays out the things that he does with Daryl so far.
Right. Well, so, okay, so we had the scene, all the breaking down scenes. Then we have Dwight and Negan talking. And this is where we get this whole interaction where he's like, you've been doing great. You're my guy. You're doing such a great job. You don't have to go do this. You want to roll around with your old lady? No, just kidding. I'm just messing with you. You okay? How's your penis doing? Like,
right.
You know, yeah. It's just like, oh my God, this guy is just getting his manhood just stepped on over and over and over again.
And I know it's probably because it's on basic cable, but like all the stuff that they've said in previous episodes, I don't think he would just be like, oh yeah, how's your penis doing? Like, that just doesn't seem... That seems like that was written for TV as opposed to what he would actually say. I just want to point that out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the F-bomb in the comics has dropped like 7 million times.
Yeah.
Oh, every like 12th word or something is fuck, which is... I just said the F-bomb and then I dropped it. So
let's
keep moving. I think that's a fair assessment because me, as just a viewer, I was not married. I know you guys talked earlier about how you were enjoying Jeffrey Dean Morgan's portrayal of Negan. That's my issue with Negan. I'm not like in love with this Negan character because something about it feels inauthentic when he's speaking to me, and it might be exactly what you just brought up, that what he would actually say, it doesn't, the venom isn't there.
He's
as
a
it
lot more
be.
Vulgar and evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's an interesting question from Art Master Austin Prophet. He said at ABTV Walking Dead, do you think if Maggie forgave Negan, if he had character growth, could they date? Hashtag Negan.
I think that seems pretty unbelievable. But what I will say, actually. Any comments on Negan before
On the chat, it's like, no. It's just no, and no.
No.
Where I do think...
I don't even know what to say.
Talking about the how you couldn't knock off or, like, submit so many of your strong characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Abraham and Daryl were, like, the two tough guys after Rick, right?
Yep.
So, Abraham's gone. Daryl's being broken. I would say, you know, Michonne's a pretty tough character, but... And then Rick obviously is broken for the moment.
Yep.
So I think that's strategic on Negan's part for the most part. Glenn was collateral damage. But what I do think is going to happen is that because you have a lot of these stronger characters, Carol's off on her own, obviously, for now, I think you're going to start to see some of these other characters step up. And I know we've talked a lot about Maggie becoming a more powerful character and Maggie asserting herself and becoming kind of a more of a dominant leader. And I do think that we're starting to see that open up. So I'm excited for next week to see kind of
her reaction,
the beginning of that process.
Well, she's not there because she's headed to Hilltop.
She's headed to Hilltop.
Yeah.
And I guess we are, I'll bet you we see Hilltop as well next week. It's 90 minutes.
Yeah, it is going to be a long episode.
We'll see a lot. So, anyway, so this conversation happens, and while Negan is talking to Dwight, he gets an orange situation call.
Yep.
And it's the three ways to go.
The moth, the angel, and the hard way.
Right. So we saw the angel. It had the hands hanging off of it.
Yep.
The moth? Do we know what the moth is? Did anybody pick up on that?
I didn't.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I didn't see that.
So
And I'm assuming the hard way is... shot to the back and being brought back onto the spikes.
Right. So he goes to get this character who none of us had knew his name, right?
No.
I don't think he ever addressed him. I thought maybe it was David. I thought maybe.
I didn't hear it.
But he was married to a woman named Maria who is dead now.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And he and Maria had gotten to the Saviors at one point earlier on, and I guess it didn't go well, and he thought there was nothing to live for.
It sounded to me like what they were saying was, we had something going, and then a dude shows up with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
So I think he and his wife were there before Negan showed up and everything really went down. So they probably weren't even the Saviors. It was just one of these societies that was built.
Right, okay.
But he was also one of the ones in that opening montage that was being messed with, too, by Dwight taking his stuff.
Yep.
Right.
And then it was an interesting question that John and I were kind of trying to figure out, but I guess it was that the walkers were actually falling. But when initially Dwight was riding down the street on his motorcycle, we saw the walkers falling onto the street. It almost looked like they were being pushed off of the was that a bridge?
The overpass. And I don't know if maybe
but
that's
just, not, yeah, the, just the
my wrestling past of thinking about how people fall from a stump perspective
and stuff like that. Yeah.
But that wasn't, like, if something walks off the edge, it usually falls face first. But this one, like, sort of flipped over as it was doing it, which was weird.
So. Yeah, you wonder what was going on there. Did we actually see Dwight crash? Is that, or did I just miss it? I felt like...
Yeah.
It sounded like he just abused that bike and doesn't know what he's doing with it more than anything else. But yeah, there was no crash on it.
Because the wheel was flat.
It was all bent.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't know how to treat a bike.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I was totally confused. I was like, huh. I yeah, he But I guess maybe you're right. Maybe he just like rode it over a walker or something and bent it up.
Yeah, I think that's more the case what it was.
I really enjoyed this scene between the two of them. I thought it was really great. It was a little melodramatic with the music, but I still really enjoyed the scene. I thought it was
Any music is better than the Easy Street.
Yeah. I thought it was well acted, and mm-hmm. I thought that this character said a lot of stuff to Dwight. You could see the struggle in Dwight as he was listening.
Yes.
And also the things Dwight was saying to try to like force him to get up. Yeah. You know, I'll dig up your wife's dead bones.
Yeah.
I mean, just
feed
like
them to the crows.
Horrible.
Shoot everybody that you ever. Anybody that you ever
talked to.
Yeah.
Put him on the fence.
Yeah.
And you know, he breaks this guy down. The guy gets up, and then Dwight takes him out. I think that there's got to be some. There's something going on inside Dwight because he was married, because he was with his wife, and he's now lost his wife, but she's still alive. So I think there's some part of him still protecting her that I think feels very connected. I could see he connected to this guy a little bit
because
he knew that the guy lost his wife. Do we think that Negan killed the guy's wife? Or maybe...
I didn't get that impression.
Yeah, no. Maybe she just got bitten by a walker.
Yeah. I think something went wrong. I don't think it was murder. I think if Negan killed this guy's wife, this guy would have done something stupid and gotten himself killed, and it wouldn't be a submission scenario.
Do we think, though, it does seem like Negan, the way he was gonna kill Sherry, he seems like he's willing to beat women to death, right? It doesn't seem like he avoids women, like, with the whole I'm not going to hit a woman rule.
Right.
No.
I agree on that.
Which is strange that he says you can't force yourself on a woman, but you can beat a woman to death.
Yeah.
Well, it's a transaction.
I mean, not that either one's okay. I'm just wondering why Negan thinks one is better than the other.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there's always a choice.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the choice is a fair one, but, you know, who knows? Maybe the choice is, you know, be Negan's wife or be dead.
Yeah, maybe.
It's again, it's all the illusion of choice that he gives these people.
I wonder if we'll see that reality on television. That seems like a difficult thing for them to show.
Yeah, I feel like on TV they might have to hold off on that.
Now, the chat's saying, there's one person saying that the bike was bitten by, the tire was bitten by a walker. Some people are saying that walkers fell onto the bike, which made
Dwight, when the dude came off the bridge. Yeah, that would make sense.
That is what made Dwight, you know, fall off the bike, hence the problem with the
bike.
That
would make sense.
So that makes sense, yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
No.
So anyway, that's sort of my other thought. Any other thoughts on this guy, Maria's husband, getting taken out by Dwight? That scene.
It was one of those really cowardice moments of Dwight, I felt like.
Yeah.
Because if he really did want to keep this guy who was his buddy alive, he took the easy way out of just putting a bullet in his back and then bringing him back as somebody to be on the spikes.
Right.
Yeah,
he could have brought him back and just had the guy deal with the consequences and then still tried to support him. Do we all think that Dwight is looking for his opportunity? Is he living in agony?
I'm trying to figure out what his goal,
what his angle is,
because, I mean, they did a good job when they did the ECU of Dwight's eyes and he shoots the guy and you see there's torture, you see he's got two, but I can't figure out what that end game could be or is because it doesn't quite make any sense right now. Because he's not going to run again if he already... Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the end is.
I think he's
in
a holding pattern because no matter what, right now, if he screws up bad enough, Negan is all about, you do something bad, I'm not going to directly kill you. I'm going to kill the people you care about the most, and then I'm going to eventually kill you.
Yeah.
So if Dwight screws up too bad, he's going to take out Sherry.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if Sherry is his wife. It will affect Dwight more than anybody else.
But then why does he want to keep... He keeps playing the game even when he was told, like, oh, you don't have to go after this guy. Go do this. Go play. Go enjoy. Like, was he just like, okay, Negan is trying to play with me and get me mixed up in something that I could end up screwing up and then having her dead. I'm going to just go do what I know I can do and go get this guy.
Maybe,
like,
taking a cautious road.
It's just a strange place he seems to be in to me.
I think everything is a loyalty test with Negan.
Yeah.
I think everything is... I want to see that you really do stand with me, and the second you waver on that, that's when I'm going to make your life hell. And that's why Dwight has been able to have the autonomy to go and steal all these food items from everybody at the beginning of the episode, because everybody knows, okay, well, this guy is one of Negan's top dudes. The way that he got there is he literally does everything Negan asks, and then the things that he assumes Negan wants him to do, he does that to be safe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think his end game is get his wife back, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
That's what I think. He just figures, wait this out, figure out a way, figure out an angle, but at least she's alive and I'm alive, and I've already experienced my face getting ironed off.
Yep.
So that would seem to me like what he's thinking, but maybe he's just broken. I mean, we don't really know.
I also think Negan doesn't want to take out Dwight because Dwight is essentially a scarecrow. He's walking around with this horrible scar on the side of his face, and he gets to bully these quote unquote, like the regular people around.
Yeah.
But it still shows that, like, no matter what, Negan is in control, and somebody that he treated so badly is still bending his knee to him.
Yeah, definitely. It's
the reason why people aren't rising up against him. It's like, well, if you rise up, even this guy who had the opportunity to came back, begged for forgiveness, and is still just Negan's bitch, essentially.
Hmm.
And then I couldn't get past the fact of how far you probably had to travel back with the dead body of the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, his motorcycle screwed up, and he had the guy with him. I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what were the dynamics of him getting him back? I mean, we obviously didn't know how far he was away from the camp, but how far did he have to travel back?
I mean, so I was thinking about that, too, in between when we watched it, and then we got to this point. I think the way that you do this, and I don't know the full logistics of it, is you wait for him to rise back up as a walker and then corral him back with you,
yeah,
as opposed to trying to, you know, cover his head and then carry him or something,
right,
like that. Like, you definitely waited for the walker to become mobile again before,
right,
bringing him back.
Yeah, I could also see, like, wait for him to, and then cover his head and then make him walk.
Make him
push
walk,
him.
Yeah.
He has the crossbow, so you kind of can, like, push him with the crossbow.
Yeah,
or
direct
something,
him and stuff.
Something. It sounds like a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah, I just didn't see him with too many things to help him along with that, because he had the bike, and I was like, well, what, even if when the walker comes back, or comes back as a walker, what is he, what tools was he using?
Yeah, he didn't
because
have
we
one
didn't
of the,
see anything when
yeah,
he was,
the
you
neck
know,
grabbers and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Anyway, if one thing's for sure, it's that Sherry is super hot. So
Negan liked
to Ben has made his statement for the night.
No, that's Negan quote. It's Negan quote. Let's keep moving on. So Dwight, we start out obviously, or Daryl, we start out that he's in the cell. He gets his sandwich, his dog food with N's sandwich. Tries to make the escape. Negan, you know, takes mercy on him to some degree because he's going to bash him with Lucille and he doesn't even flinch. Which, like, I don't care how tough you are. That's a movie thing. Like, you've just watched, like, two people that are close to you get beaten to death with a baseball bat. There's no way you stand there and a guy swings a bat and it gets this close to your head and you don't even flinch, close your eyes, or move.
Yeah.
It's just not something that's real in real life. What do you think?
I don't know. I disagree with you. This is why. Because we just saw Abraham get, you know, hit in the head. And even after getting hit in the head, he really didn't have a jerk reaction off of it. You know, it's like, I think mentally they're just at the point where they're just like, F you, you know, if you're going to do it, do it. Like, it's just
also
like,
also a TV thing.
Also
the same
thing.
Show
yes.
in a previous episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
also a TV thing.
If you have no fear of death and there's nothing in your mind that you're living for at this point, like, the flinching comes in because that's fight or flight. Like, that's me trying to protect myself. If you don't care to protect yourself, then perhaps you would. I don't know if you would hold that stare with the bat at your face, but I mean,
I just had the urge to do this really quick to see if you checked on it.
I would flinch so hard.
At this point, do you
so
think that Daryl really is scared of death? You know what I mean? I don't
no.
think he's scared of death, so I'm not surprised that he didn't flinch, actually.
They intentionally left that door open, right?
Yeah.
That was the test.
An on purpose moment. And then they beat like Daryl up.
Just a normal like beat down, not anything too terrible by comparison.
Stomp, kick you a bunch of times.
Also, at the start of the episode, when we see him in the cell, like, he is covered in yellow bruising, so he's been getting his ass kicked on a pretty regular basis since coming there. So even before, you know, the dog food sandwiches and stuff like that, it's like they were just, you know, flogging him basically at that point.
Totally. He talks to Negan. He kind of, you think that maybe there's a chance that he's going to submit here, because he finally breaks once Dwight gives him the Glenn picture, the Polaroid.
Where are they finding all this Polaroid film, by the way?
I know, right?
The Polaroid film.
The camera.
And also, like, did he take a picture in the episode and we missed it?
They had a lot of time to take that picture when the RV trip was happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's one of those guys' jobs. Is like, all right, we just bash somebody's head and bring out the camera.
Come on.
Right.
He's just sitting there standing over the body, shaking the Polaroid out.
Oh, God. Brutal. Brutal. Yeah, so Daryl kind of breaks. It looks like he pukes in the cell.
Yep.
He doesn't eat the food. Gets taken up to Negan's office, and it sort of seems like Negan's like, yeah, man, you're going to be my guy. And we get this moment. It's, who are you?
Before we get to that, Negan's office sucks.
Wasn't that
It was terrible. I want it to be a lot better than that. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It was just like a dude slightly modified doctor's office.
His bed frame was pallets. Like, you could have robbed much better stuff than this.
Yeah.
You'd think he was living in, like, a really cool...
Maybe he likes to rough it, so it keeps he keeps him on top of his stuff.
Oh, no, I would have...
maybe that wasn't
if I was some warlord like that, my room would be awesome. Screw everybody else, but mine would be really good.
That might have been, like, his office or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
It kind of seemed like it was his room, but it also, it's not like...
Well, the bed was in there.
It had
the bed in
there.
It
was a bed on pallets.
Yeah, it was a bed on pallets,
Unless that's just where he takes his wife and
maybe.
He has separate rooms for himself or something.
I kind of think that he has a sweeter room than that. I mean, it could just be his only room, but I just, if I was Negan, I would definitely have the biggest possible room. It wasn't even, like, symmetrical. He didn't even have, like, the bed in the middle with a cool, like...
It literally looked like the doctor's office. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he can't get too comfortable and go to sleep and be really relaxed because that's when people pounce on you. He's got to stay stealthy and ready to
that's
go.
That's an action.
Now, Naolin online or on the chat says that that wasn't his office. That was the room they were offering Daryl.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay. That would make sense. This can all be yours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he wouldn't give away his room to Daryl. I sort of thought that he meant just like this life could be
yours. Yeah, I thought it was his life.
Saying that's Daryl.
That makes sense. Yeah, specifically, he was offering the room. That would make sense. Yeah. Good call. Good call.
But, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on the room.
Yeah, yeah. So we get this moment, and it's who are you? And and he says, Daryl. After the crying and the puking, I sort of thought, I honestly thought that it was going to be that easy. I thought in that moment. None of you guys thought so? You thought he was going to be Daryl?
I thought it was going
to
be Daryl.
Huh. I thought he was going to say Negan. And then he goes back to the cell, and he's like, I get why you did it, because you were doing it for someone else. Yeah. That's why I can't. Now, does that mean he has no one else? Is that you think that he's getting at? Or what do you think he meant by that?
I got the impression that he's on an island by himself now at this point.
Yeah.
And whatever is going to happen to other people isn't going to be affected by his decision. He did something and it got somebody else killed at this point. It feels attached to anybody after doing that, because one of the few people that he cared about in the world, he got killed. So he's like, I'm kind of done with other people. I have to detach myself from these other people and kind of be for myself now.
Yeah, that ain't going to last.
No.
Well, see, I feel like if he was for himself, then he would submit. And when he says to him that, like, he's that's the reason I can't do it, it's because those people, like, Glenn can't have died for nothing at this point. Like,
right.
So I can't be that for that reason. Yeah. So I sort of feel like that's where his mind is.
I can see that.
Fair. All right. So that, I think, pretty much wraps us up for the episode, unless you guys have anything else you want to throw in. I do want to make sure we get to regular predictions and then spoiler predictions.
I'm just checking your notes, seeing if we missed anything.
We had the reference of Arat, which was a character that called out the orange alert on the phone. We didn't meet her.
I think that he was saying all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I think that he was saying all right, and he just said it with, like, an accent.
No. It said Arat was, like, because the caption's wrong.
On the caption
could be wrong.
I'm just saying, the way it was, like, all right, you know. Like, I really think that was a caption.
I don't know if you're right. I don't know.
We'll find out.
let us know in the chat if you guys have a different opinion. But so let's get into what we're going to do here, guys, is we're going to do a regular prediction segment. After each person gives their prediction, they're going to do a quick sign-off so you can know where to find us on Twitter if you want to follow along. Share your thoughts. Please do. We like to interact with everybody and start the conversation. And then, of course, after that, we're going to give a quick spoiler alert, and we're going to do a couple minutes of spoiler-filled predictions.
Yep.
So, Daryl, let's start with you for predictions. Where can the folks find you?
You can... Nope. Well, I'll let the music go first.
You calm down.
I got excited. all right, so my prediction is that Dwight is actually going to help Daryl escape. That's what I think is going to happen.
Soon or
eventually? I think not too far in the future. Like, I think it's going to happen, you know, definitely this in the next 3 episodes.
Okay, wow. So you think it's going to be quick?
Yeah.
Where can the folks find you?
You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Sweet. Courtney, what you got?
All right. My predictions, there's some more people about to die in Alexandria as soon as Negan gets there, because I don't think it's going to be as easy a transition as he thinks it's going to be right now.
You think some folks are going to get taken out?
Some more people have to get taken out,
but no specific predictions?
No.
Okay.
I just hope it's not Rick's son.
Oh, I can't think Carl's
Carl.
Killed.
It won't
this
be
point.
Carl. I don't think so. Although in the chat, people were saying that they're ready for Carl to die.
Yeah, that's why I kind of, I'm like,
interesting.
Well, I think there's a matter of us ready for Carl to die, and if the show is
ready for Carl to die.
Yeah. Right.
The show's plot is so closely tied to Carl's development that I think it's hard to get rid of him.
I mean, the kid has, you know, an eye out already and almost got his arm cut off. I don't think we're
ready. Also has a stomach scar from being shot.
Yeah. But that's why it's time for him to die. And the complete destruction of Rick is required for Negan to really take over. And I think taking out Carl would be the complete destruction of Rick, finally.
Yeah, or a whole other level of vindictiveness that, like, he doesn't want to risk.
Which is a good war.
Yeah. Where can the folks find you?
I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
Mr. Junkyle.
So, my prediction on this is it's going to be more of a slow burn. I don't think it's going to happen within 3 episodes, like Daryl's saying. But I think Dwight is going to obviously continue to look up to Daryl, and I think Daryl, by not submitting and being one of the points guys, and having to just work his way through just to survive and eat dog food sandwiches and stuff like that, I think he's going to lead to the start of an insurgency from within the Saviors. Mm. And I think it's going to lead towards, you know, maybe our mid-season finale of turning Dwight finally fully against Negan to the point where he's going to take action against them.
Hmm. Fair enough. Where can the books find you?
At the John Carl and Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I think that Dwight's going to get Sherry back eventually. Mm. I don't think it's going to happen soon, but I think he's going to get her back. There's also a part of me thinks Sherry's going to die.
She's going to get eaten by a walker.
But there's a small part of me that thinks that for Dwight's character to keep going, maybe he'll get her back, and then he'll find that he doesn't really want her anymore because things have changed so much. But I do think that Dwight will get a chance to have Sherry back eventually. That's just kind of a feeling that I was getting the way they were setting things up. My thought. That's my prediction for the day, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We're gonna just break here with a spoiler prediction, and then we're gonna get into a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Perfect. So guys, last chance. If you don't want to know anything that has to do with the comic book, tune out, shut it off, turn off your iPod, whatever's going on.
Throw your laptop on the floor violently.
Did I just say iPod?
I don't think you did.
I know somebody who has an iPod anymore. iPhone. Turn off your podcast app on your iPhone.
Throw your iPhone.
Android.
Just to be safe.
We'll spend a few minutes here talking about the comic books. So first and foremost,
I got one I wanted to get into earlier. So the whole pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
And this kind of hints at something that did happen during the comic book. I think Dwight and Sherry are still banging behind the scenes that Negan doesn't know about.
Mm.
And I think the whole interaction when they were having the beer and saying, oh, well, you could go for this, I think that was a test to see if he would jump to it. And it was one of those, oh, well, if you're jumping to this, that means you're probably taking opportunities when they're presenting themselves when I'm not around.
Got it.
So I think he was saying maybe next time, because even if he doesn't get to raise the kid, he will still know that Sherry's kid is his and not Negan's in his mind.
Got it. Maybe that's how Sherry dies, is when he finds out. Maybe he kills Sherry. He keeps Dwight alive.
You want Sherry to die really bad, Ben.
You're like the kid on the panel who was like, oh yeah, you know, just kill the pregnant woman, two for one.
Oh yeah,
you missed some very That's evil terrible. People at the panel.
Hashtag Steven once predicted that was gonna happen, yeah. I think.
Hashtag two for one.
Yeah. I think there's that. As far as other stuff that's comic book related, I don't remember if there was like that baby storyline in the comics.
I don't remember a baby storyline, but he was definitely banging her behind the scenes.
Yeah, the whole entire stuff with Maggie becoming more, that is like a plot line that starts to happen in the comics, that she does become more of a leader, and I'm excited
and
to
Megan
see.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, Megan.
Megan does not happen.
Thanks,
hashtag.
There's no chance, but there's that, and then there's also the whole thing with Spencer, and I almost feel like it's unnecessary to even really talk about it just yet.
Yeah,
even in a spoiler section, it's just not necessary. But they're like Negan and Spencer have like an interaction that's pretty interesting in the books. I think I feel like that's what happens.
I missed Stephen Ogg's character not being in the episode.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite actors. Yeah. He's too busy on Westworld right now, I guess.
Yeah. I do think Daryl is going to submit. I think Daryl's going to submit. Maybe even if it is fake, I think he's going to become in the army, and he's going to have to do some... I think he's going to have to do some pretty deplorable stuff to prove himself to Negan. And I think he's just going to do it to survive and to get in. And I don't think he'll ever fully turn, but I think he's going to be a soldier for a while, because that's what Daryl does. He does what he has to do to survive. You know, and he's done it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm not super confident on it, but...
Daryl's not in the comics, so this is definitely this.
Yeah,
is
yeah, this
Daryl
is
free. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
another thing I was just going to say is that with all the other characters we mentioned, Abraham dies in the comics in
the Denise fashion.
He dies the way Denise died. It's her spot. He gets the arrow through the eye, and Glenn dies exactly the way he died in the comics. And Rick, he attempts to break Rick the exact same way. So a lot of the stuff, there's a comp we can kind of predict. Yep. With Daryl, anytime there's a Daryl or a Carol storyline, they're both great because they have nothing to do with the comic
right.
books unless they decide a character shift.
Which they haven't done a ton of either.
They have not.
No, the only character shift that we've really seen in like the recent seasons was Michonne popping up in Rick's bed instead of Andrea.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where we can leave with that. I don't really have a whole lot else I need to say. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in and watching again. It was great to break the episode down. We'll be here same time, same place next week, I think. Go to AfterBuzzTV.com.
We will.
As far as the, because the length is 90 minutes.
Yeah, we're watching early. We should be good, though.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we'll be back here at 9 o'clock next week then, guys. Thank you for watching, and find us on Twitter and interact. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.